All right, so we have a video that Harrison Smith has put together. It doesn't include any commentary. It's not him trying to piece things together. It's literally just a bunch of Jewish elites, politicians, billionaires, you know, fill in the blank in their words. What they're saying, not just their plan of what they will do, but a plan that's already well underway, things that they are actually doing. We're going to show this video. It's gone super viral. It already has like 7 million plus views. And so we want to show it. It's about 14 minutes in length. And then we're going to come back because we actually have Harrison in person live in the studio with us. And I want to just ask him some questions, pick his brain, and get the commentary that the video doesn't actually include. So we'll show the video. But now, because we have Harrison here, I want to say, all right, what are some of your conclusions, takeaways? What do you think this video actually conveys, and what should we do about it? So here's the viral video that Harrison Smith put together.
I think there's another revolution coming. I tend to steer it along with the achievement of a broader peace. When history is within reach.
So what Israel is fighting here is not merely a seven-front war, but an eight-front war.
It's called the Jews against Rome.
Rome and Jerusalem clashed over values with a great tragedy for the Jewish people.
Well, we lost that one.
We have to win the next one. But the new Rome, the United States,
the Jews against Rome.
We stopped playing defense and have moved to offense.
The weapons change over time. You can't fight today with swords. That doesn't work very well.
But we need the kind of genius that manufactured Apollo gold pagers and infiltrated Hezbollah for over a decade to prepare for this battle.
But we have to fight with the weapons that apply to the battlefields in which we're engaged. And the most important ones are the social media.
Because the next war will be decided based on how Israel and its allies perform online as much as offline.
This is the Eighth Front, the disinformation campaign.
It is actually this Eighth Front where our enemies believe they can actually defeat the Jewish state.
This is the kind of ingenuity and inventiveness that have always been a hallmark of the State of Israel, that have always been a characteristic of the Jewish people. I know we can do it.
A lot of this is done with money.
Invested billions and billions of dollars in the information battlefield.
Money of NGOs, vast money of governments. Vaster.
We prohibit harmful stereotypes about Jewish people, such as claims that Jews control financial, political, or media institutions.
You're damn right we're going to cancel them and deplatform them.
We monitor them online, social media, messaging apps, video games, cryptocurrency.
Hitler admirers, Stalin admirers, Jew haters.
Podcasts, short form video, Wikipedia, LLM.
American haters, Churchill haters.
We monitor these people and we share the intelligence with the FBI.
You think your stupid little podcast is going to change the world like hell it is?
Social media, this is the new battlefield.
You don't get to wrap your psychotic, mental, unhinged Nazi.
We do not allow Holocaust denial and distortion.
And the most important purchase that is going on right now is
TikTok.
TikTok. TikTok, number one.
For every 30 minutes that someone watches TikTok, they become 17% more anti-Semitic.
So you have TikTok just smashing our young people's brains all day long with video of carnage in Gaza.
And so we really have a TikTok problem.
Because anything that we try to say to them, they are hearing it through this wall of carnage, and I sound obscene.
Anti-Zionism is just Jew hatred.
We made a change.
We updated our policies
to designate the use of the term Zionist.
To recognize that the term Zionist
as a proxy for a protected attribute
can be used as a proxy for Jews and Israelis
as hate speech.
Why can't Israel be doing some sort of, you know, counterintelligence?
Right now, the ADL is co-writing Sunday school curriculum.
Information warfare like this.
It's building the technology to train the LLMs more effectively.
Like a psychological operations in America.
As part of a robust framework to combat anti-Semitism, we have industry-leading policies designed with the safety of the Jewish community in mind.
You're right, we control the media. So what are you gonna do about it? You're gonna bitch on Twitter, like, okay. Meanwhile, we're gonna control more of the media.
And working with OpenAI, with Alphabet, with Anthropic, with Meta, with Microsoft, we are working with them now to train the LLMs.
We also have, I think, over two dozen Jewish organizations that are constantly feeding us intelligence and information.
So number one, we measure and track. Number two, we monitor and disrupt. We have a whole apparatus. I have 40 analysts working full time, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, monitoring extremists.
Monitoring campuses, digital networks, activist groups, and public officials.
We have several PhDs on staff. We have a network of academics and scholars we work with around the country.
I've talked to the leaders of AI in the world, and you ask yourself, there's so many blessings in this, but there could be a curse.
First thing a country needs to do is to unify all of their data so it can be consumed and used by the AI model.
We need to invest in intelligence to understand who are the anti-Semites, who's funding them, what's their plans, who are the leaders, and then once we have that, we can define who is an enemy we can attack.
You have to take all of your healthcare data, your diagnostic data, your genomic data. We have to take all of this data we have in our country and move it into a single, if you will, unified data platform.
Once we have all this information, we need to empower and mobilize an ecosystem of many organizations that we can incentivize them to work together, to share, and to fight against our common enemies.
Mobilizing millions of people, of allies, that are quietly by our side.
Citizens will be on their best behavior because we're constantly recording and reporting everything that's going on.
You know, anti-Semites, most of these people running around, we're not going to win their hearts and minds because they don't have hearts and they don't have minds. So, you know, how are we going to, there's no reason to think we're ever going to convince them, but we can deport them, we can put them in jail, we can make their lives miserable, we can cut off their funding.
You've got all these conspiracy theorists online going on and on and on about how, you know, if you try and say anything, if you try and do anything against Jews, they're going to come after you.
We have featured more than 1,000 anti-Semites.
And they're going to destroy you and take away your business, and therefore you have to be really, really scared.
These Jew haters have faced real consequences, including firings, suspensions, and expulsions.
And it's kind of starting to come true.
We will shine a light on you that will follow you for the rest of your life. When you look for a job, when you look for a spouse, when you look for a nanny, when you look for anything.
And I love that. I love it.
We remove hate speech against Zionists when these harmful stereotypes about Jews are invoked.
In the past 12 months, ADL's filed more lawsuits than in the prior 112 years.
Over the weekend, I received concerning news that I was being sued for $5 million.
Vicious, communist, racist, Jew-hating, Israel-bashing monster.
Defendant frequently posts anti-Israel rhetoric accusing Israel of controlling the United States and its politicians.
We at the ZOA will fight these dangerous and monstrous lies with all of our hearts and souls. No appeasement. No conciliation, only a war against this racist hatred of the Jewish people.
When there is a war, it doesn't matter who your enemy is. You need to destroy their offspring to prevent them from creating more offspring.
What you're trying to do is you want to corral your victim, but in fact, your countries are the victim. So you dehumanize a group of people in human society, and you prepare them for the kill, for the butchery.
A government can do in 2 months more than any organization can do in its lifetime.
The J7 is comprised of the 7 largest diaspora communities. We meet every other week via Zoom to share information, to share best practices.
And we're running everything all the time, from focus groups to attitudinal surveys to like randomized controlled trials to identify what interventions work most effectively.
Finally, we have meetings that are some off the record, some on the record, with world leaders, in which we share our community's concerns and call for action.
The entire education system in this country, from K through 12 in colleges, must be reformed.
But it's time to limit the First Amendment in order to protect it.
The way we solve anti-Semitism is pretty goddamn simple.
Take control over what they are saying.
Send their ass to jail. It's not complicated.
And quickly, before it's too late.
We're monitoring political Islamists and Christian nationalists, all of them. And then we train. We're the largest trainer of law enforcement in America. Extremism hate. We train 20,000 officers every year.
Try that again.
Here, because there's comments made online about the Jewish community.
We deeply value our partnership with law enforcement. We've been working with them literally since the FBI was founded in the 1930s.
Is that your account?
That guy who consistently calls for the death of all Palestinians, that can probably incite somebody to do something radical. That's all we're here to talk about, to refrain from posting things like that.
We are going
to
have a whole division within the office of the Special Envoy to Combat Anti-Semitism that is going to work on technology.
We must take all of our technological expertise and all of our available resources to develop methods to launch and win a significant counter-information campaign.
The products of our technical capacities and sometimes technical and intelligence genius, and we're happy to do it.
The office is going to be revamped entirely to be one of the highest profile offices in the State Department.
Because it's not working. Too many young people have never heard of the Holocaust.
The only solution right now is for the governments to decide that all the Jews are a protected minority. That means that the government will be obliged to provide the security.
Upgrades to security. Jewish community shouldn't have to be paying for it. We have to pay for our own armed guards? Are you serious?
To fund institutions, culture, and that everybody in Europe will learn about the Jewish contribution and why they should cherish Jewish presence.
All your synagogues, all your shuls, all paid for. Everything. Everything that you need is paid for. I, for one, as a Jewish leader, will no longer talk about anti-Semitism in isolation from Israel. It's what we want immediately, if you ask any Jew. What do you want? What do you want? No more protests. No more protests.
I'm not an anti-Semite. I just don't like the government of Bibi Netanyahu. No, you're a Jew hater.
Would a group be banned if it accuses Israel of genocide or apartheid?
If those criteria are satisfied, then that is the case.
Any candidate running for a seat in this building, whether for Congress or Senate, we will target them as they target us. Accordingly, we will start a fund to help their opponents.
Beginning already in Q1, hedge funds get set up in Israel so we become another capital of finance. I'll argue we will beat London within a short decade as a second capital of finance. It's gonna be New York as a gateway to America, Hong Kong a gateway to China, Dubai a gateway to Southeast Asia, and Israel as a gateway to other parts of the world.
So we heard earlier about a goal to bring a million immigrants to Israel.
History has proven that when a country starts with allowing anti-Semitism, the results are not kind to that country.
I wanna make a warning to somebody else, and that's American Gentiles. The minute your country is taken over by anti-Semitism, the minute you start to be a country that's not blessing Israel but cursing Israel, you have begun the process of shrinking away from your empire.
And you can decide. You can stay here in New York in a declining empire, or you can come to Israel, which is part of the rising middle of the world, which is moving south and east. That's what I encourage you to do.
Our faith in the American project itself has been shaken. The only serious answer to this challenge is to believe again that being Jewish is the most important thing in the world.
When we're kicked out of America and America, you know, the whole thing is done, the whole American Jewish project is done, we're gonna be fine.
For decades, American society allowed Jews to live normal lives. This was a pleasant holiday from our destiny. The holiday is over.
The Western culture that stands against the Jews is going down. The West will survive only if it decides to love itself and if it decides to love us, the Jewish people.
The Jewish people are not normal. We never really were.
And now that Israel has turned the entire geopolitical situation on its head, our job in the diaspora is to leverage those wins and win here. Do to our enemies here what Israel did to its enemies there.
And to the world, I say this. History will not remember those who merely denounced hatred in polite language. History will remember those who acted.
This is a small bunch of wannabe Nazis. That's what they are.
Anti-Semitism is pure evil.
If we have to hunt you down the way they hunted down Nazis for decades, we will find your identities. We will find you. We will achieve justice.
I think we're at the cusp of a new age, because I think that we will achieve
the expansion of peace. I think that we are in a new age because I think that the possibilities of technology, with their risks, especially in AI, but with their positive benefits, are enormous in every field. I mean, from agriculture to health to transportation to... And I think that we are together. We can lead this and become not a secondary power, but a primary power.
Yeah, that's disgusting. That's absolutely disgusting. They're not mincing words. They're not even trying to hide it, and just saying the quiet part out loud, that if you are critical of Israel, if you don't believe that that their ambitions are good for your nation and your people, then they're going to hunt you down. They're going to expose your identity, make it to where you are unemployable, make it to where you can't find a spouse. The language that they use in that video that you compiled, Harrison, is, I mean, I think a lot of people will view that and they'll be afraid. It doesn't make me afraid. It makes me angry. It makes me really angry. That's wicked. It's absolutely wicked. It's been said before, and I'll say it now. They don't want to kill you because you're a Nazi. They call you a Nazi so that it will be okay to kill you. The irony is so thick, you could choke, right? They'll bring up all the historical examples or even make some of them out of thin air of, you know, Nazis, you know, trying to dehumanize Jewish people so that it would be morally, you know, acceptable in order to kill them. And that's exactly what they're doing to us. That's what they're doing now. They're saying, hey, you're critical of Israel, or you don't like usury and you've been talking about it a little bit too much, or you don't like, you know, pornography and OnlyFans and all these different things. Hey, the fact that, you know, Gen Z will never be able to own a home, or the fact that there's limitless immigration, you know, the fact that all these different things that we have been intricately involved in making happen, not in our country, but in yours, you're speaking out against it. You have a problem with it. And therefore that immediately correlates you to Nazis, and we're going to call you that to do the very thing that we have claimed to be upset about all along. In other words, we're going to dehumanize you so that you're on the menu now. You're on the chopping block now. So that the things that we're going to do to you, the inhumane things, the way that we're going to silence you, crush you, destroy you, that's the language. Those are the words that were used in that compilation. All of it will be morally permissible. All of it will be justifiable because you're not really human. You are a Nazi scum because you had the audacity to care about your country more than ours. I'm disgusted by that. I find that, I'm angry about that. And especially right there at the end, that last segment when Netanyahu comes on and basically he's not just saying this is what we'll do, but he's giving his reason. I think of the scripture, always be prepared in season and out of season to give a reason for the hope in which you have. Well, he has hope. He has hope that his nation will be the supreme world power, that everyone else will be subject ultimately to him, to his people, to his country. And he has a hope for a reason for that hope that he expresses. And the reason is technological innovation. The reason is AI. The reason is the eighth front warfare. He believes that through all this technological power, that they will be able to identify and suppress and isolate and render completely impotent anyone and everyone who says a single negative thing. Harrison, what is your take on that? And are you, I guess my question would be, in light of what we just watched, do you have any hope? Are you bullish at all on the American people? Can we win?
Absolutely. I mean, that video, I'm not sure how many views it has now. I think last time I checked, it was almost 8 million views. And I did that for free over a weekend. So it gives me a lot of hope to know that these people have literally tens of billions of dollars and 40 PhDs on staff and entire, you know, A/B testing laboratories where they're, but they don't have the truth. So they're building everything on a foundation of sand. So we have the truth. It overwhelms all of their money, all of their conniving, all of their big positions, especially with something like X that can actually let the video go viral. It hasn't gone viral on YouTube, hasn't gone viral on Instagram, did go viral on X and is now spreading to those other platforms. But part of their entire strategy is demoralization. That's why I tried to very carefully craft that, not to make it a celebration of what they're talking about, because it's evil and sick, but they're bragging about how powerful they are and how, you know, capable they are of destroying people, which it's like, yeah, you are powerful, but you're evil. Like, that's not a good thing. And when people see you sort of reveling in the power that you have to punish your enemies, even though they haven't done anything wrong, then I think it becomes clear, like, what the intent of all of that is. Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's a couple aspects to it that are like building blocks that are being established. And one of the important ones I don't actually have explicitly in there, but it's the IHRA, International Holocaust Remembrance mm-hmm. Association working definition of anti-Semitism, which they'll adopt that, big tech companies will adopt it, or like our government has now adopted and said, this is now how we're defining anti-Semitism. And the key component of that is anti-Israel is anti-Semitism. Mm-hmm. And so, again, I put it in a couple times. So like about every 2 minutes in that video, you hear somebody say, anti-Zionism is anti-Semitism, because that's a key component. Because then whatever Israel does, whatever backlash to Israel's insane and genocidal actions is therefore categorized as anti-Semitism. Those numbers go up. ADL gets more power. You cause more fear in the Jewish community. So they look to you for protection. I mean, it's a lot of it is built off that definition alone. The definition mm-hmm. of anti-Semitism being anti-Israel, that needs to be rejected outright.
Yes, absolutely. Wes and Antonio, any thoughts?
We underestimate the power of censoring someone on social media. It's like, oh, your video doesn't reach as many people. Whole ideas and people themselves, people with something to say. When you have the power and the levers over social media, you can truly make them disappear. They're still making content. They're still putting out videos. But you can truly take an idea in a way you couldn't do with someone unless you kill them in the public square, for instance. So back in the day, you would have literally had to go out and like, I'm going to have to murder this guy in his sleep. I'm going to have to murder him in the town square. If I want him silenced, I have to take real kinetic action. But in a world where ideas spread via the internet, if you take someone and you have the power over something, a platform like TikTok, over a platform like YouTube, over a platform, say, like Patreon, and you're trying to get a message out, it is truly possible that you are literally unable to do so. And I mean, for 20 years, we were talking about this, Harrison, during the break. I mean, there were entire decades where even beginning to question the things that we're questioning now, even beginning to posit the ideas, name the names, bring the receipts that we're doing right now, there were whole decades where doing that, whether from the ADL, the SPLC, they would get you kicked off of the internet. That's happened before, and it happened for a long time, and it got us in some measure to the hellhole we're in right now. And so we have this narrow window. Elon Musk buying X being a big one so ideas can spread. Alternative platforms like Rumble, creators being brave. We have a narrow window, but what you heard was them saying, we've got to close this window as fast as we can. And if we don't, we know what the end result will be. And so it's basically an arms race. Which one wins first, the message or the mechanism to suppress it? And that is a very powerful way of doing so in a media world. You can suppress someone, you can send them to the black hole of the internet, and their idea truly doesn't get out. You think about them like, oh, I used to watch their videos. Where did they go? Oh, they're gone. You yeah. can't find them. It won't pop up in your feed. It won't be suggested to you. That's something worth taking very, very seriously.
And sorry, just to note that, you hear the guy in there, we have to destroy the First Amendment in order to protect it, restrict the First Amendment in order to protect it. The First Amendment has five freedoms that are at play. Like, that's what they're attacking right now. Often, anti-Semitism, laws against anti-Semitism are framed as we have to protect freedom of religion. So mm-hmm. That is literally the opposite. If I have freedom of religion, I have freedom to not believe a religion. I have freedom to criticize a religion or the people in that religion or the power structure of that religion. The freedom of religion is the ability to criticize religions, not just adhere to them. So like that, I think, is an important point, how they invert the First Amendment. But then also in the First Amendment, they have the freedom of the press. At the time it was written, the press wasn't some sort of, metaphysical, newspapers and TV shows. It was a machine called the press. So like if that was written today, it would be freedom of the internet, freedom of mass communication. The
right.
press was simply the tool necessary for mass communication. So when you're talking about back in the day, they would have had to go kill somebody. That's because you can't control all of the presses, right? If somebody can just go make a press of their own, and you'd have to go conquer that too in order to stop them. So freedom of these platforms, freedom of usage of the internet, I think is guaranteed by our First Amendment. We just haven't updated the vocabulary. We think of press as this, the news media. That's not what it means. It means the mechanical, technological ability to mass produce information.
And we have to grapple with the first word of the First Amendment is Congress. And then that does extend to state level governments, but it's Congress can't limit these. But what do you do when YouTube is so big that that is the place where 90% of people every single day, they get news and information? Well, YouTube's a private company. YouTube isn't Congress. So can they do that? Is Google, Google doesn't have to let you use their email. Google doesn't necessarily have to let you use their services. We need to think about what that means in the 21st century, not just limiting it to Congress, but saying, hey, also private companies have a responsibility, potentially, and a responsibility, maybe somewhat like the First Amendment. Hey, you cannot, if you are literally the monopoly on news, you can't also censor this too. You also have a certain freedom that you have to allow to take place.
Yeah. This is that whole Section 230 controversy around having the immunity and being treated like a neutral site, if you will, but being able to actually censor people. Like, there's a clear conflict of interest, contradiction there that happens with these big platforms, and that's something that has to be solved. One other thing I wanted to talk about was maybe a point of optimism. If we think about Gen Z, younger generations, I think they're fundamentally motivated by, at least politically speaking, a distrust in institutions. And so what I find kind of ironic is we watch that video and they're talking about all of this top-down leverage. One reason I just think it, outside of just blatant censorship and restriction of the First Amendment, one reason I don't think it will work is because the people they're trying to indoctrinate, if you will, or educate, as they might say, they don't even trust those. They're naturally skeptical of a blue square ad. Right. They find it off putting. Mm-hmm. They find it on the nose. This is one of the reasons that my generation, Gen Z, everything's mimetic. Everything's seven layers deep. Yep. Because no one really believes in truth.
Right.
No one trusts. Top-down information. And so the scheme, and I think they recognize this, and this is where TikTok comes in. The scheme is that, algorithmically speaking, Gen Z receives their news bottoms up. It's a TikTok video made by someone in their living room that goes viral because it actually resonates. It connects. Right. It's real. Yep. And they recognize it. They say, oh, for the last 50 years, or maybe it's less than that, maybe it's 30 years, we've controlled the institutions top down. And that's been great because we've had Fox News and we've had CNN and MSNBC. But what do we do now when everything's algorithmic? Everything's bottoms up. Everything's organic, if you will. That requires such a mass amount of information. And you can imagine so many people on the ground that have to post, and it has to be a swell of resources that they just fundamentally don't have access to. And this is why censorship will become so important for them in this strategy, if this eighth front, if you will, because they don't have the resources to actually combat truth on the ground.
Especially AI. Is like their number one thing. Yeah, no, you're exactly right. Could not agree more.
Harrison, any final thoughts?
No, this has been great. This has been very fun. I just think please share that video around. I'm so gratified and happy about how well the video is doing. I work very hard on a lot of videos, and a lot of times they don't go anywhere. So I'm so thankful of everybody who has spread it around and sent it around. And I think, not to toot my own horn, but I think it's really a really good piece of positive propaganda, because it's their words. You can't, people are going, you're Zanny Smith. It's like, it's literally all them. You cannot claim that it's anything except for a presentation of reality. I mean, I may have put it in an order that puts across an idea I intend, not the speaker, but regardless, you can't frame this as anything other than the world Jewish elite describing their own plans and motivations. So please share it.
Yep. Thanks for coming on the show. Well said. In the vein of, publishers that are, canceling people and suppressing certain things, Wes, you mentioned kind of tongue in cheek, a little twinkle in your eye, very briefly, Patreon. For our listeners, it is worth noting, if you're not aware, we were canceled off of Patreon and we were given zero warning. We lasted on Patreon for the time that we started, and the time that we were booted was about a week and a half, about 10 days. We got zero warning. They didn't even tell us initially what it was. We had to follow up, in what ways did we breach your terms of service? They told us in general that it was hate speech, and then they finally gave us specification, and predominantly came down to one particular episode, which was, the title was Understanding World Jewry. And it was an episode between myself and Nicholas Fuentes. We had him live in the studio, and we did an hour-long episode on understanding world Jewry. And we gave all the disclaimers. We gave the nuances. We were careful in our speech. We did not say every single Jew is involved in this, but there is something to be said at the elite level when it comes to billionaires and politicians and those who are, you know, influencers and have power and influence and affluence, who are Jewish, racially Jewish, ethnically Jewish, that there is a certain way in which the world works. And we explained that. And because of that episode, Patreon, they eventually got back to us and gave us their reasoning. They said, yeah, that episode, understanding world Jewry, is the reason why we kicked you off. In less than 10 days, we had accrued over 3,400 Patreon members. And so we had over 3,400 Patreon members that had hopped on to see this 10-part series between myself and Nicholas Fuentes. That one episode is just one of 10 parts, Understanding World Jewry. If you want to see all 10 parts, because we're no longer on Patreon, you can do so by going to members.nxrstudios.com. Again, that's members.nxrstudios.com. We have all 10 of these episodes ad-free available right there. And as a benefit to the listener, although Patreon cost us a lot of revenue, we don't want to take that out on you. And so we're not just doubling down, but we're actually tripling down by making the content still available on our own platform, but this time available for free. So every single person who goes and signs up for a membership at members.nxrstudios.com. You can get your first month trial for absolutely free. If you want to cancel, there's no hard feelings on our part, but you can watch all 10 of these episodes between myself and Nicholas J. Fuentes, and one of the topics being understanding world Jewry. We encourage you to go and check it out. All right, that's it for the episode. We thank you guys for tuning in. Make sure to subscribe, click the bell on YouTube and also on Rumble, and you can follow me at Joel Webbin on X.